Air Cascadia.
That's right, Air Cascadia coming up here on the Mighty Boo, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. In 15 minutes, it'll be Flashpoints on the air. Today, they look at the Aliso Canyon gas leak disaster, also stopping police killings and the impending ICE crackdown on undocumented immigrants from Central America. At 11 on Between the Covers, we hear an interview with Paul Thoreau on his latest travel book, Deep South, about his road trip through the backwoods of the southern United States. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, the guest is Carol McKay Booker, editor of Alone Atop the Hill, the autobiography of Alice Dunnigan, pioneer of the National Black Press. That's all coming up after Air Cascadia. It's headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre right after this on KBOO. Thank you so much, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 33rd Real Music Film Festival running from January 15th through February 8th. Real Music explores the lively interplay between sound and image, music and culture. Opening night, January 15th, will be Roxy the Movie, directed by Frank Zappa. Filmed over three nights in December 1973 at the Roxy Theater in Hollywood, Roxy the Movie encapsulates the qualities that made Frank Zappa a revolutionary musical pioneer. That's January 15th at 9:15 p.m. at the Northwest Film Center in the Witzel Auditorium at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the films and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, January 7th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guests are Andy Kerr. He'll be taking us through the dark and winding path federal land and grazing rights. These people don't understand what a sweet deal they have, these so-called ranchers. They're getting public land, our land, pretty much for nothing, so that they can let their cows run around, pooping all over the place, and putting more methane into the air, which, of course, reminds us all that in California, there's a massive methane eruption that no one sees and very, very few people talk about. Nonetheless, this methane, what would you call it? It's like a geyser of methane that has been shooting up into the air for several months now. It's expected to be doing so for another couple of months. Anyway, back to the cows and the land and Harney County. Good. Andy Kerr joins us this morning. Thank you so much, Kerr. And he's a conservationist and author of Oregon Desert Guide, 70 Hikes, and Oregon Wild Endangered Forest Wilderness. Exactly what we want, the person that we want to turn to in order to sort out what's going on out there at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. Good morning, Andy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Well, listen, thank you so much, because apparently they did hold a town meeting where the sheriff elicited cheers from the crowd when he asked them to go, the people occupying the wildlife center, to go home, go back to their families, and figure out what to do next from there, because they do not have any right whatsoever to take over land that belongs to everyone, whether we live there or not, is of absolutely no import whatsoever. It does nonetheless belong to all of us. How can one justify claiming that they have a right to take this land and graze on it, or, as they said, work the land? It is absolutely astounding, the ignorance and the arrogance, not to mention the idea that this is God's intention for, and that we all are going to have to just eat it. I am just appalled at all of this. What steps can we take as a general public to protect land in Haughty County like this? And if this is under assault, then any other place might find itself under similar conditions, not to mention the Paiute Nation, who really have finally stepped forward and asserted their claim. Who ultimately is rightfully claiming this land? And how much land are we talking about?
There's about 4.8 million acres of federal public lands in Harney County. There's hundreds of millions of federal public lands across the American West, primarily, that are national wildlife refuges, national parks, national forests, wilderness areas, wild and scenic rivers, and other kinds of public lands. These lands belong to all the American people. And what these, you know, sounds like about a dozen angry white males first came to Burns to help out a couple of ranchers that were convicted of arson, burning Bureau of Land Management lands upon which they hold a grazing permit. They wanted to burn the land so there'd be more grass for their cows. They pay such a low grazing fee to the federal government that a 1,000-pound cow grazing for a month on public lands costs about $1.40. It costs more to feed a house cat than that. So they've been heavily subsidized. The ranchers got in trouble, were convicted, and these angry white males came to Burns to try to provoke, in their eyes, a revolution. When the locals didn't buy into it, the ranchers turned themselves in to go to prison, they decided to take over the headquarters of a national wildlife refuge, which was easy enough to do that time of year because nobody was there. So their argument is basically that it's unconstitutional for the federal government to hold public lands. And, well, the Constitution actually doesn't say that, and the Supreme Court has ruled as such, but these guys are true believers. They believe that the Constitution of the United States is divinely inspired, and their interpretation of it comes directly from their conversations with God. So, you know, they've never been able to explain why God changed his mind on prohibition, but they're holding up that constitutional argument. But it doesn't hold any water. Go ahead. I'm just saying, these guys, they're angry. The world's not going their way. And so there's been outbursts like this before, not just with Clive and Bundy in Nevada about grazing fees. This has been an argument that's been ongoing for 150 years since the federal government has had these federal public lands.
Not to mention the sheep wars. There's a long history of this kind of conflict in the West over land and who has the right to put various types of domesticated animals on that land, essentially ruining it for any other purpose or any other group of people. One thing that did trouble me coming out of that meeting was like, yes, hurrah, Ward told them to go home. But what troubles me is that other people out there said, yes, they wanted them to leave, the Bundys and so forth, to leave. But they essentially agreed with them, that they thought that there's more talk all across the country right now about states or counties having control over public lands, which of course would be a disaster for conservation. What's your assessment then of the further down the road outcome here. Are people in Harney County and other places going to say that they have a right, they want to control the land, not the federal government? It would be a disaster, obviously, but...
It would be a conservation disaster. I totally agree with you. It would be a real problem economically as well. You see, the users, the abusers of the public lands in the West who log and graze and mine it are all heavily subsidized to do so by the federal government, by us federal taxpayers. And so these lands belong to all of the people of the United States, not just those in Harney County. But you got to keep in mind that most people don't live in Harney County. You could take all the voters in Harney County and pack them into 1.7 voting precincts in Multnomah County. Multnomah County is only 20% of the state's voters. So it's a very small amount of people. They, of course, would like their federal subsidies to go up. If somebody would give them the land, that would be just fine with them. If they actually had to buy the land from the federal government, assuming the federal government wanted to sell, and I don't think it does, it would cost $3 billion and $421,000 per person just to get the fair market value. So, you know, it's interesting. They're greedy. They love their subsidies. They hate the federal government, but they're dependent upon the federal government for those subsidies.
That's what's so extraordinary to me, is they don't see what a sweet deal that they actually have. Thank you so much, Andy. We're pretty much out of time for this section of the show, but I like your writing very much. Where can my listeners find more of this?
I think they go to andykerr.net, my website, and that will give links to my books and also other writings that I've done on the subjects of public lands and wildlife conservation in the American West.
Notably, the folly of giving federal land back to Harney County. That was for the Oregonian.
I take it's not back. Harney County never owned it.
Yeah. And then the Paiutes were left out of the discussion altogether. Andy, I thank you so much for being with us today. This has been great. I'd like to have you back on the show again. But for now, again, our guest has been Andy Kerr, conservationist and author. Thanks, Andy. We now go to our next guest, David Delke. He's the president of Alliance for Democracy and on the council of the Oregon Progressive Party. Good morning, David, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
We're delighted to have you. We have so little time. We have so much to talk about. But let's get started with one of the most troubling aspects of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that's the secret tribunals, trade tribunals. We're seeing the effects right now of NAFTA and the arrogance with which TransCanada is applying NAFTA rules to attempt to assert its right to essentially steal, because it's in a snit over over the fact that it didn't get to build the Keystone XL. So that's a small pickings NAFTA lawsuit. But can you talk a little bit about what kind of lawsuits we're looking at?
Up to this point, the trade agreements that we've had have been with countries that have not been invested in the United States generally. So NAFTA included Canada, which had some investments in the United States, and Mexico, which had virtually none. And so the United States wasn't particularly subject to these kinds of lawsuits in front of these private corporate trade tribunals. But with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we're talking about an agreement with some very well-developed countries that do have a lot of investments in the United States. And all of those companies that have investments in the United States could potentially use the investor state protection clauses that are in both NAFTA and the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, in order to sue us and overturn our laws and regulations. So this one that you just mentioned with TransCanada suing under NAFTA, they're claiming $15 billion as what they want to take care of the damages that they say were incurred as a result of the United States' decision not to allow them to build the Keystone Pipeline. And unfortunately, or fortunately, we typically think that countries should be able to make these kind of decisions. And these trade tribunals essentially take that decision-making ability away from us. And so, you know, moving forward, then at all levels of government, as we make decisions, we're going to have to continue to look over our shoulder and to see, you know, which major multinational corporation might be gunning for us to overturn our laws. So very, very undemocratic. It takes multinational corporations and puts them at a higher level than domestic corporations because these kinds of suits wouldn't be allowed.
And really, on a higher level, a greater power, a greater leverage on markets than the actual than the federal government.
Yes. You know, I like to characterize these as a corporate coup. This is major multinational corporations forming a new level of government that is above the nations. And it's a direct attack on the ability of nations to be sovereign nations, for people to be able to say, we the people decide something. We the people can decide something, but then it always becomes subject to a suit and overturn by these private corporate trade tribunals.
David, thank you so much for that. I would like to invite you back with a run-up to the